to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I just realized I've been talking to Jeff for the past 2 weeks because I'm like, it always sounds like I'm hitting my mic. It always sounds like I'm hitting it, and I'm not, and I don't know what I'm doing to make that sound. I think I just figured it out. I think it's that the cord that I use to connect my microphone to my computer was kind of slapping the side of my stand-up desk attachment thing, and it was making that noise. So hopefully it will not happen again. But also, I'm standing here wearing the shushiest shorts. That's what my friend Aaron always called them in high school. Like, shushy shorts. I don't know if you can hear that, but if you just did, they're like rustly kind of like running short material. So we're going to have to change before we do the rest of this fantastic episode, which obviously I haven't done it yet, but the calls are so good that I can't wait to share them with you. Real quick before we do that, though, I have talked about this online, but I need to talk about it verbally. I went to go see Jesus Christ Superstar live at Hollywood Bowl last night. And I, of course, I'm an Andrew Lloyd Webber, huge fan, but I've never seen this musical. I'm not familiar with it. Again, I had like my musical theater moment in school, but it was really kind of the shows that we were a part of, the shows that like when the older kids did Les Mis, like that was a huge moment in our lives, but I never really just sought out other musicals beyond like the main ones that I knew. So I was unfamiliar with it. Oh my Lord. It was fantastic. I got to hear Cynthia Erivo sing live, which really feels like the ultimate bucket list moment. The best singer in the entire world sing live. And also Adam Lambert, like the Cynthia Erivo of it all is the attention, but Adam Lambert was so good. So good. Like these people opened their mouths and the sound that came out blew my mind. It was exceptional. I'm so glad I went. And it really feels like the best Hollywood Bowl moment I have had since the Muppets took over Hollywood Bowl, which was the greatest show I've ever seen there. Cynthia Erivo, I love you, but you do not compare to Muppets live on stage with Bobby Moynihan. It was wonderful. And now I feel like I have a second core memory of my time in LA. It's just really nice. It's just really nice. It was a wonderful show. It was a wonderful show. And I got to tell you, I am not one to be, oh, I'm shushing my shorts. I'm not one to be like celebrities because I live in LA and they live here too, and you know they're just doing their jobs and living their lives. But I will say, as someone who watches sitcoms, it was like one person from every show was there. It was a real LA night. It was really exciting. It really felt like alive, like ooh, like Hollywood came out for this. It was really fun. I had a great time. Okay, I'm just gonna say it again. Like I'm not fazed by many things, but I did see Bones. I saw the actress who plays Bones. I saw Bones. And when I said this to a few people, they said, "Oh, David Boreanaz? No, he was not Bones. He was Mr. Bones, I guess technically by marriage." Oh, spoiler alert, but like inevitable. They had like 12 seasons or something. It was gonna happen. Anyway, I saw Bones. I saw Bones. It was really exciting. She's so cool. Okay, we're going to get into the episode, but just needed to tell you. I told my subscribers on Instagram, but I have to tell everybody. Okay, stick around. We have a really fun one. So many good calls. I cannot wait. We have a new segment from Becky this week, which you should listen to because there are new discounts. There's a very rare discount ahead. Take a listen and enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. I am so excited to see you as usual, but also there are deals that you know about that I don't, that I just found out about from you that we need to share with people. Like this is our public service. We need to let people know that they can save big all money.
You have no idea. This never happens. And speaking of stuff that never happens, Disney Cruise Line does not run offers. You might see one or two here or there that's like 50% off deposits or, you know, little things to try to have something to talk about out there. But they have gone somewhere that we have not seen them go in a long, long time. Right now, you can get on, of course, the available select sailings on the Magic, Wonder, Dream, Fantasy, and Wish.
That's a lot of ships. By the way, there's a lot of ships to have discounts on.
Exactly, for between October 3rd and March 30th. So there's a big window here for anybody who can travel in that window. You can save 50% off your third and fourth guests in the same stateroom. I have not seen this offer in years. So if you're a family of four, two people in the room can save up to 50% off their cruise fare, which is mind blowing.
That's bananas. I also want to mention, if you're like, I wouldn't be traveling with children, but maybe I can get a gaggle of friends together as an adult. I slept on the couch on the Disney Wonder for the entire sailing, and it was totally fine. So if you want to jam a bunch of adults in and save that money, I'm co-signing it and saying, go right ahead.
I mean, totally, because this is not just kids, and that's what a lot of people thought. Oh, this is the kids off. No, this is anybody. There are a couple of things. First, it has to be booked by October 12th of this year, and it's not valid on suites. So, of course, if you have a suite, that's not going to work there. But all other categories between 4A and 11C, it is. However, the other thing that's really interesting about it, is valid on new and existing bookings that meet the criteria. So if you're booked in that window on one of these sailings, and of course, it's not every single sailing, you do have to kind of look at the dates to make sure that the date applies. But just, I'm still in shock that they're doing this big of an offer right now. And again, it's for sailings on those ships between October 3rd and March 30th for specific sailings only.
That is huge. And Blair, my travel agent and master travel, you will be hearing from me because that is in the window of Pearl's third birthday.
Oh, perfect.
Anyway, I don't want to keep harping on cruise. There is so much exciting happening there, but you also have some huge Disney World news.
Oh my gosh, Disney World just added a little bit because we were talking that they've had that save up to 20% on rooms for the holiday season. That is for most of those nights, Sunday to Thursday, October 12th to November 20th. And then, of course, they kind of skip over Thanksgiving, so you can't take advantage of that. But November 23rd all the way to December 25th. So that's that 20
All the way
up
to December
to,
25th.
yes, all the way up to December 25th. And that is for that 20% off, up to 20% off, sorry. But what they did is they added another little carrot that you cannot refuse. When you upgrade to a room and ticket package that includes a 4-day or longer standard theme park ticket, right? You can get a dining and shopping promotional card that can save you or give you up to $100 if you're in a deluxe or a villa resort, $75 and a moderate, and $50 promo card for packages at value resorts.
So Disney World
Crazy.
is straight up handing out money.
Yes, pretty much. Come here, have fun, eat some stuff on us. Here's your $100 gift card, and go have a crazy time.
That we're getting this when it's not so humid, you want to melt into a puddle?
The best time.
Unreal. Thank you so much for this, Becky. And stick around for our next chat because there is a Universal Orlando offer only Becky has. You can only get this through Mousefan Travel. So stick around. We will be back. Welcome back. Now, just to give you a lay of the land so you're not like, what is this endless stream of calls ahead? I've kind of grouped them into categories. We're going to be talking about one of the foreign Disney parks soon, foreign to me at least. Then we're going to be talking about a few responses to my Disney World hotel rankings. Then we have a smattering of calls about Disney parks, resorts, cruise line, like a few random things that I really want to group together so that you can get the answers that you need and we can also talk about stuff. Then we have a little bit of bucket list dreaming followed by just a reminder that I think we should all take part in. We are going to start, though, with the one I am most proud of and most excited to tell you about. So here you go. Here is our Churros Hotline episode. Enjoy.
Carly, this is Ashley from Augusta, Georgia. Thanks so much for influencing us to go on Disney cruises. We went on our first this previous spring, and we're going on our next one in April. And the thing I cannot stop thinking about is the pineapple black bean salad that is both on Castaway Cay and Lighthouse Cay. And I've been trying to find a dupe recipe and have not had success. There are lots of recipes out there for a pineapple black bean salad, and none of them taste quite the same. I'm guessing it's because of the vinaigrette they use. So if you have any hook up to the recipe that they're using and can share that publicly or like slide it into my DM secretly. I won't ever tell my source, except for right now in this air where I'm doing it out loud. But it would like revolutionize my entire summer meal planning. And I would love it so much. So yeah, if you have any sources or suggestions on how to make that delicious, pineapple black bean salad, I would love it. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Well, Ashley, have I got some news for you. Now, what we need to talk about before we talk about this black bean salad is that this call is from May 18th. But by golly, I've done it. It took me 3 months. I didn't think it was going to happen, but to my shock and surprise, it did. Now, a lot of times when I get calls like this, I do reach out and sometimes I get an answer, sometimes I don't. And for this one, I emailed, it must have been maybe twice and I didn't hear anything back. So I figured, okay, maybe they just can't give me the recipe. Like, it's not a priority. Obviously, there's like a lot more going on at Disney Cruise Line than getting me a recipe, which I understand. So to my surprise, on July 25th, a story magically appears on Disney Parks blog called Disney Eats, Plant-Based Recipe from Disney Cruise Line. And oh yeah, it is the grilled pineapple and black bean salsa that you are talking about. We got it. We got the recipe. And it's like the official recipe. It is on the website. I will put this in the show notes so that you can access it. But we got it. And the thing is, I don't see any vinaigrette in here. Maybe it's the jalapeno pepper, the zest of one lime, the olive oil. I don't know, but we got the recipe for you and I couldn't be more excited. It was sent to me after and someone was like, oh, here you go. And it was from an unexpected person who I did not think had even heard me ask and like put out into the ether, like, people would love if you shared this recipe. And we got it done. And I'm so excited about it. So enjoy, it looks delicious. I assume I've had this on the islands, but if I haven't, this is definitely a priority for when I go back. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for listening. Thank you for loving Disney Cruise Line as much as I do. And I'm so glad I was able to do this. I'm so excited about it. The next two calls are kind of like long lost sister calls. So we're going to play them together and then answer them in tandem.
Hi, this is Elena. I am going to be going on a work trip to France in late September, and I just found out I'm going to have a full weekend by myself in Paris, obviously looking to go to Disneyland while I'm there. I just went back through your episodes, and I realized you only had one, I believe, on Disneyland Paris, and it was during COVID time. So I was wondering if you had any resources or then another Tro's hotline call to talk about, like, Disneyland Paris planning. Yeah, it'll just be myself for one day, so trying to figure out the best things to do, plan it all. I know their like Premier Access Pass has changed a ton since you went, so if you could point me towards anyone that has the best Disneyland Paris planning, I would really appreciate it. Thanks.
Hi, Carly. This is Casey. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm going to be in Paris in October, and I'm going to take a day to sneak away to do Disneyland Paris, but I'm trying to decide if it's worth it to do a park hopper ticket or if I should just focus on Disneyland Paris. So any advice that you have would be appreciated. Thank you so much. Love the podcast. Bye-bye.
I am admittedly behind on doing a new Disneyland Paris episode. I owe you guys one. I owe you one. And I'm so sorry that both of you and probably even more people are going to Disneyland Paris. And I don't have a guide that I can easily give to you. To be completely honest, which I feel like I can talk about on here, which is probably fine. I feel like it's totally fine at this point. There was a point when Disneyland Paris was going to bring me to the park specifically to do a podcast episode, which was very exciting and very fun. But I was very postpartum, and it was just not feasible to just spend like 30 hours in Disneyland Paris only to turn back around. It didn't come together. I traveled a lot after Pearl was born, but this was like immediately after Pearl was born, so it was just simply, I couldn't get it off the ground. I couldn't sell it. I couldn't sell it to the family, but I am behind and I will hopefully be getting there. It's maybe in 2026, hopefully soon. There is so much coming to that resort. They are basically redoing and renaming their second park. So in the future, there will be so much, but there is still so much to see and do there. And I hope you have the best time. Now, while I am not the point person to guide you on your Disneyland Paris adventure, in this moment, the girly you want to go to is Sam for God. Sam, 4, and then G0D, I think on Sam's YouTube channel. Yeah, it's G0D. Sam is an incredible creator. I cannot recommend Sam enough. I fully fangirled when I saw her at D23 last year. I like lost my mind. I was like, I'm your biggest fan. I can't wait to meet you. And we were DMing and it was so exciting. I always tell people to go to her YouTube channel. Her videos are so comprehensive and so easy to watch. And I say this as someone who does not really spend time watching YouTube videos. I find her like entrancing and cannot get enough of it. Really gives you that kind of like, I'm your friend at Disneyland Paris and I'm going to show you the ropes. She is fantastic. And she has you covered with every like first timer, things you need to know, tips, all those videos she has, and I highly recommend. Now, my personal opinion, my personal favorites, off the cuff, the place I eat almost every single time I'm there, I've been there, oh my God, maybe 4 or 5 times at this point, but almost every time I go, I eat at Annette's Diner. Not just because I like the vibe, but because the food around the parks is bad. It's bad. And I feel confident saying that, even though my journalist brain is like, you haven't been there in a minute. Can you really say that? Oh, I sure can, because I have lots of personal evidence for my experience there. I have never not gotten in a fight with my family because one of us was hungry. That's just how it is. The one time that we did okay was when my husband and I brought full sandwiches from Paris. So I highly, highly recommend doing that. Pack a snack at a minimum. And if you're like, no, I'm going to a Disney park, listen to me. Listen to me. Let my voice ring in your jet-lagged ears when you are in Paris. Bring a snack. You will not regret it. Now, this park is pretty... Oh, I don't know how I got that message. If you just heard that, that was my mom texting me, even though I'm on Do Not Disturb. My phone knows. My phone knows that my mom's got to cut through. Anyway, now you can drink at select locations in this park, which is pretty wild. They do coffee well, and it's nice because it's not too expensive from what I remember. So it's like easy to kind of get your caffeine fill if you're traveling. Usually when I go to Disneyland Paris, it's the first stop from the airport because it's kind of on the way. So that's why everything is a little coated in jet lag. But the stuff you can't miss, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. If it's open, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. It is an experience unlike anything else. And that is all I'm gonna say. Phantom Manor, read up on it before you go on the ride. The ride is like, I find to be not very self-explanatory. It's a little confusing. And like Haunted Mansion isn't the clearest storyline either. But Phantom Manor, I'm always like, wait, what? So what happened? But it's a must-do. It's just, it's different from Haunted Mansion. It only exists there. It's pretty special, and I recommend. Do at least one thing in Fantasyland, even if it's like teacups because it's a beautiful setup, even if it's a small world to just get like to see a different perspective on it, even if it's just a classic ride because it's a little French and it's a little different. Do something in Fantasyland and you will be charmed. When you approach the castle, go inside to the left for a surprise. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but just make sure you don't miss that. Keep in mind that the coasters, like the real thrill rides, are not smooth or not as smooth as you may be used to at the domestic parks. I've said this on mic 100 times. I feel like I've said it. Not to be like, you haven't heard this, meaning like, oh, I feel like I've said this a lot. So if you've heard this, I apologize. But their Space Mountain goes up upside down, which I was so excited for when I first went to DLP, and it was so jostling that I cried after because my head hurt so much. So I say that not to complain, but just to make sure you know, in case like physically you would like to know that beforehand. If you can, stay for fireworks because they look bananas. They look extremely cool. And when it comes to, should I do both parks in one day? It really comes down to how much you want to go on Crush's coaster. The second park there, Walt Disney Studios Park, going to be Disney Adventure World, which is probably the worst possible name for SEO in the entire world, but we're not going to get into it. They are in the middle of a huge remodel and redesign. There are a lot of very cool things coming to that park, and they haven't really been built yet. So the best version of this park is going to be in the future on a trip if you return. However, there is still stuff to see. Crush's Coaster is sick. They have an Avengers Campus, which... again, it has a coaster that I would be a little physically nervous to go on, but Crush's Coaster. So here's the deal. Everyone comes back raving about it. It is extremely fun, but it's not really, the theming is there, but it's not like the most themed environment you've ever been on. If you've heard about it, you'd probably be somewhat surprised to know that there's only really show scenes at the beginning, and then you're kind of mostly in the dark. Like the ride I would compare it to the most is The Mummy at Hollywood, like at Universal Studios Hollywood, The Mummy. It's just kind of like you have a few show moments and then you're just inside the room with the track. That's kind of how this feels. It is extremely fun, but there isn't anything there that I think if you missed out, it's like, oh, well, you didn't see Disney at its finest. I think that is some more an experience we get at Disneyland Paris at the main park. But it's really fun. It's really fun and it's a really good time. And if you're into spinning around, I recommend. It is like a cute ride. I always love to do it. If I don't get to do it, I'm a little sad, but I don't think it is, if you have one day, I do think that the experiences you can have elsewhere for the time might be more beneficial. If that at all helps you decide if you should go to both parks or one. I would say probably, I would rather take like 60 minutes of meandering in the most beautiful park over waiting in Crush Coaster. Crush Coaster is fun, but that's just where I'm at. I hope that is helpful. I will give you more when I go eventually. But if you have questions about like Premier Access, they have Premier Access One, Premier Access Ultimate. They also, these things have changed so much over time. Definitely check out Sam's channels and have the best time, both of you. I hope you like end up going at the same time. How cool would that be? Like internet friends arriving in the same destination. Have so much fun. Oh, Paris and going to it. I want to go to Disneyland Paris. Okay, have so much fun for me. Okay, bye.
Carly, this is Beth from New Jersey. I just finished listening to your Disney Resort Ranking podcast episode, which I loved. And I noticed you gave a lot of weight to transportation, especially resorts that might be on the Skyliner. So I had an experience at the Riviera a few years ago that really kind of soured me on Skyliner resorts and was wondering if you've had this experience or what you thought of this. So on my trip, this actually happened twice. Get up in the morning, you know, go over to the Skyliner, plan to get to Epcot. We get there and the Skyliner is closed because of an approaching storm. Got it, no problem. So we are told to head to the bus stop, walk down to the bus stop, and we get there and this gentleman is working there and he's like, oh, where are you going? And we're like, oh, we're going to Epcot. And he said, oh, no, there's no bus to Epcot. You have to take the Skyliner. And we're like, oh, no, no, the Skyliner is closed because of an approaching storm. And he goes on his radio and he's like, nope, the Skyliner is open. And we're like, okay, great, must have cleared up. So we go back to the Skyliner and the Skyliner is closed. Yeah, so we took an Uber that day. And something like that happened again later in our trip. And we were pretty frustrated. And kind of vowed to never stay at a Skyliner resort again. So was just wondering, is this something that you've experienced or you've heard of? Has the process gotten any better at Skyliner resorts? This was a couple years ago, so Riviera was new-ish, but definitely at least a year old. So anyway, hoping it's gotten better, but would love to kind of hear your thoughts on this. Love your show. Love listening. Makes my commute bearable. So thank you so much. Keep it up. Take care.
Hi. Okay. So what I'm going to start by saying is that you are completely correct. You are completely correct. And the experience that you had seems extremely annoying. Extremely annoying. That is too much back and forth for the amount of money you're paying for a room in Disney's Riviera Resort straight up. That is too much. And I guess I'm just pretty optimistic about the Skyliner on paper, but you are correct. This just happened. It can stop for weather. It can stop for malfunctions. I don't know if I discussed this on the recap episode after I stayed for Muppet Prom and when I stayed at Disney's Riviera Resort, but I'm pretty sure I spilled the beans on this. But I was talking to someone because we went from Hollywood Studios back to Riviera. And you have to take two legs of the Skyliner. You have to take one leg of it, get off the Skyliner, which is the gondola transportation at Disney World, for anyone who doesn't know, and then you have to get on the second leg of it to go to your hotel. And the one that specifically goes to Riviera Resort and then Epcot was not working at the time. And we were talking to the person working and we're like, do you think it's going to open later? How long do you think it'll be? And they're like, oh, it'll be a few hours. We have to cycle through. This is a non-weather related closure. And they basically were like, yeah, we were supposed to have scheduled maintenance and they didn't do it. So now it just breaks down all the time. And I was like, you definitely should not have mentioned that to a journalist, but okie dokes. So that's what I heard on the ground. Again, that is one random cast member. Not going to get anyone in trouble. Don't even remember their name or what they looked like. But that is something that was mentioned to me as a random paying Disney guest as for why the Skyliner can shut down. So it did shut down, I think, twice during our visit, once then and once another time, but we weren't using it that time. And it is a bummer because that's a big selling point for that hotel. What I think the Skyliner makes up for is that at a hotel that costs less, so a non-deluxe hotel, which are the other hotels that also use the Skyliner, I think it's a huge bonus for those. I do find when I'm staying at Riviera, it's like, this is the perk we paid for, to be a Skyliner away from Epcot. But then when you're staying somewhere like Caribbean Beach, to have options to two parks without having to disembark and then re-embark without having to get off one and get on another, like just immediately getting on one or the other. I think Caribbean Beach is so centrally located that it's such a benefit for them. And also, devil's advocate, let's keep in mind, generally speaking, not the annoying situation you dealt with, because that's so annoying. Generally speaking, if you don't go on the Skyliner, you go on a bus, and the bus is like the default transportation. So it's kind of like you might get a fun little ride, or you'll just take the standard thing we've all been taking. That's the baseline. And I'm kind of happy to roll the dice. Again, I do think it is weighted differently between resorts, and that's why I consider it more of a benefit for one of the, you know, like a moderate level hotel. But I guess I don't know. I love a monorail and I love being in the sky. I really enjoy it. And I hit my chair. I was so excited. I absolutely see what you're saying. And if it works out, it does. It's great. And if it doesn't work out, it's really flipping annoying. So thank you for your perspective. You are right. I deserve to be called in about this. You are correct. And you were not the only one. Let's just say that. Thank you for your call.
Hi, Carly. This is Lauren, annual pass holder, Florida resident. Loved your latest episode of ranking the Walt Disney World resorts. I mostly agree with all of your call-outs. You were spot on. Two of them, though, stick out, or things that you didn't maybe mention. Number one, Boardwalk Resort, I completely agree, and it's placed on the list. I may even put it lower for this one reason a lot of people don't talk about. If it is raining outside, Florida has thunderstorms, lightning, bad weather. You have no food options inside the resort. You have to go outside on the boardwalk for everything. You want a corn dog? You're on the boardwalk. You want a slice of pizza? You got to go outside and get your poncho. It's no bueno. It's a total nightmare, especially with little kids running out, darting for to-go boxes of food to bring back to your room. No, doesn't work. Second thing that I don't maybe agree with you on is your ranking of AOA simply because of the option for the family suites. I really can't think of another resort that has that kind of option. That's my dog. At that price point, I just feel like it's a niche that they have that other places don't. And if you're trying to family, that's your best option. Anyways, keep up the great work. Love ya.
I'm just going to say it. Extremely valid critiques. Extremely valid critiques. I'm going to thank you for them because you are absolutely right. I didn't even realize that there's really no meal option at Boardwalk if there's rain. What do you do? What if you have like a gaggle of kids? What if you're like wearing sneakers that you really don't want to get wet? That stinks. I didn't even think about that. And I know they have Carousel Coffee does supposedly have food. I don't anticipate I will be going out of my way to get coffee there anytime soon. Though, again, Cake Bake Coffee is like $9, so maybe I would. But I don't think they have full meals. I think it's just little snackies pastries because they close early at like 3 p.m. or something. So you are totally right. You have to go out in the rain. Ew. And like in Florida, that's a huge deal. Wow. I never even thought about this. And I thank you for that input. Oh my God, that would be so annoying. I really appreciate it. And okay, Art of Animation Suites, also true, also understand. I think I'm pretty biased with my one child mindset. And then I'm usually, my brain is like, well, if I want a bigger room, I'm just gonna go DVC. But I'm committed to stay at Art of Animation at some point in 2026 so that I know, because that's somewhere I was like, I'll wait until that's one of the very, very few hotels I haven't stayed at. It's Art of Animation and it's Polly and what? There's one other one. I don't remember which one it is, but I've stayed everywhere except for that. I haven't stayed at those because I'm like, I feel like I need to travel with family or like a bigger group to really understand how those spaces work. So again, I will stand. You're not clocking me on business. Oh my God, I sound like 1,000 years old. I'm standing on business, whatever that phrase is. Whatever the phrase all the children are saying on TikTok, I can't retain anything. I will say, I stand behind that the decor could be so much better. It is so vinyl. It is so doctor's office. I don't like it. It looks very like, bleh, I don't know, it feels like I'm going to the dentist. But you are right. Family suites, I got to check it out. And I thank you. I thank you for this call. I thank you.
Good afternoon, Miss Carly. Steve over here in Michigan. Yes, I had to actually think about how to spell churros, but I'm very happy I was able to give you guys a call. I just got done listening to the hotel rankings, and I just had to call you after hearing how Polly was ranked. And then Caribbean above Polly? What? Really? I got to say, I humbly and respectfully disagree. I do fully agree with you about the lack of exclusivity of Polly. It for as much money as you pay for as highly sought after that hotel typically is, both by word and both by what people are spending at that place. At the very least, people need to have the right of first refusal for reservations at Trader Sam's. That is a highly sought after place. People that stay at Poly need to have the right of first refusal. Like when they check into Poly, they say, hey, you want to stay here? You want to eat here, drink here? Your vote or your reservation, you have the right to refuse it. And then we'll sell it out to everybody else that's not staying at Poly. And on top of that, yeah, I agree. The lobby is so busy. It's so chaotic. But on the other hand, Caribbean, around Banana Cabana, the pool area, that waterside, the water, the next to the little lagoon, wherever they call it there, along with trying to get to that lobby, that's chaos if I ever saw it. And Caribbean only should be ranked that high, assuming that you're staying in that section of the resort that is close by to the Skyliner. Every other section of that godforsaken resort is, it's great cross training if you are a cross country runner or a track runner. Let me just say it. Staying anyplace else in that resort, you might as well be training for a half marathon or a marathon. Ugh, it's horrible. I cannot, in my good conscience, rate it above Poly. But I've got to say, I love you. I love your podcast. It's simply amazing. Keep up the excellent work. And I hope you are having a wonderful Thursday.
An incredible call. I mean, the reason why I love Very Amusing is because you all will call me out on what I say and I will somewhat agree with you, but you're like, oh, happy to have an open dialogue about it and happy for me to tell you that you are correct or you are wrong. And that's just why I love you all. That's why I love you. I am so grateful that you see what I'm saying about Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. And also, if policy changes there anytime in the next three to six months, I will be taking credit for it. I mean, I don't want to, listen, I am a Disney adult at heart. I do not want to live in a world where I show up to the Poly and I can't get in somewhere I want to go. But at this point, you know, this is a deluxe hotel. There should be a perk for staying there. They should have the same thing at Disneyland Hotel, frankly. If you stay at Disneyland Hotel, you should have some sort of benefit to going to Trader Sam's. And I do believe there is a slight like reservation benefit where you have like a little more access to times, but it should be more explicit. If you are staying at one of these places that has a hugely sought after bar restaurant that people really, really want to go to, that people travel to who aren't staying at that hotel, if you're staying at that hotel, you should have access to it. That's like Luxury Hotel 101, and yet Disney doesn't play by those rules, which I've always found very interesting. However, for somewhere like Trader Sam's, I mean, they're probably not needing to fill rooms at the Poly, but if they did, I mean, think about it. If you had to pay X amount of dollars to stay at the Poly, or then you could pay the same amount and know that you will get into Trader Sam's, that is a massive benefit that only Disney would offer. And I just think it would be really smart of them. It would behoove them to do that because nobody wants to get in a line at 4 o'clock and be like, when am I going to come back? This is a place you visit where you need to make a schedule. It just doesn't fit in with the way that Disney World operates. And I'm talking so loud, I'm absolutely going to wake my child up from her nap, but this is a cause I care about and we need to stand on it, okay? We have to talk about it. So I appreciate that even though you disagree with so much of the episode, which understandable, I said some things even I'm ashamed of, that you agree that like, people at the Poly should have access to the things at their own resort hotel. I love that hotel. I love spending time there. I go all the time, but it does feel closer to a mall-like environment than other hotels I've visited. And I know that you don't love that I ranked Grand Floridian so high, but I will say this. Grand Floridian is like, young, old, come into my berth, walk around, see my Christmas tree, eat my shingles, enjoy my $22 or so cocktails. Something about Grand Floridian in that central area doesn't feel like visitors are taking away from anything. It's not like the line to get macaroni and cheese at Gasparilla Island Grill is so long that people who stay at the hotel can't access any of the food. That's not the situation at all. But for some reason, somewhere like Trader Sam's that's so specific and so Disney and like you can only get it there. You can't get that experience anywhere else in Disney World. People who stay at that hotel should have access to that place and just have, you know, additional access. That's my thinking. That's my thinking. There's really no other equivalent that I can think of anywhere else that is so in demand in the way that people will go out of their way to visit the hotel for that. Dining, I feel like, is a little different because we do all go to a bunch of different hotels for dining, but bar specifically, I think you should get a little boost. I think you should get a little boost if you stay at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. As for Caribbean Beach, listen, I did not think I would be on my podcast defending Caribbean Beach the way that I have been. I don't even like it there, but I will say, all moderates are pretty big. I mean, it took me 25 minutes to get to my room at Coronado once. I was in the back. I didn't know there was like, there's three sections besides the tower. Love the tower. There's three sections. I've stayed in all three sections, but I hadn't stayed in the furthest third one. I'm looking at a map. I don't trust my brain. And it was honestly a slightly traumatic day. So we've got casitas, ranchos, and cabanas. And I was, gosh, I must have been in like the back of ranchos. I didn't even know it went back so far. I'd only stayed in like cabanas, casitas. I had no clue. I looked for my room for so long that I was with my mom and I was just like, I can't do this. This is so long. We went the absolute wrong way. I mean, that's why they have the pass through in the middle. I should have taken it. I goofed. It was my own fault. Regardless, just saying, there's other big ones. I can't believe I'm defending Caribbean Beach. This is humiliating. I don't like it there. I've always said I don't like it there, but the Skyliner changes things. And yes, to bring it back to the other calls, I know the Skyliner doesn't always work and I know it's problematic. And in weather, which Florida has nearly every day for part of the year, like I know it's a little dicey, but the truth is you can stay at Caribbean Beach and you can walk directly onto transportation to half of Disney parks. No other hotel offers that. I mean, think about it. If you stay in the resort circle at Magic Kingdom, you can only go to one. You have to transfer to a monorail to Epcot. You have to transfer wherever else you're staying. Here, you can walk and just step on and be at Epcot. Step on, be at Hollywood Studios. That's something that Riviera Resort doesn't even offer. So I think just the fact that you can take this easy breezy transportation to half of Disney parks, I gotta, and it's like an affordable price and there's plenty of rooms. Wow, I didn't think that I was gonna be a Caribbean Beach fan. And yet here I am. Here I am just proselytizing about it. So yeah, Caribbean Beach, I guess I like it. I guess I like it after all. Internal buses, don't like those, but Caribbean Beach, I gotta defend. Thank you for your call. And hope to one day see you at Trader Sam's. Stick around, we will be back after a few words from our very kind sponsors. I was in New York City last week. I saw a croissant for $11. That is too expensive for a pastry, which is why I'm here this week to talk about EveryPlate, because cooking at home is not only nutritious, and with EveryPlate is not only delicious, but it's also going to save you so much money. $11 for a croissant, which you're going to eat and be hungry afterwards. But with EveryPlate, when you're cooking at home with them, you'll spend less on flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on normal groceries or at a restaurant. Obviously, coffee shops be out of control. I also got two cold brews and it cost $19. I don't want to get into it. If you are bored with cooking at home or feel like you can't do it, they have you covered. And you can up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less using EveryPlate's clear, easy-to-follow recipes. Now, I've told you before, I am not a good cook. I know how to add garlic powder to grilled cheese to make it yummy, but I'm not out here eating a bread and American cheese slice diet. I need nutrients. I need protein. And EveryPlate has me covered. I made one of the best meals I've ever made in my life. I'm never going to stop talking about it. That chickpea stew that I made, I've heard EveryPlate ads my entire life. And everyone's like, oh, I made this dish and it was fantastic. I literally made a dish and it was fantastic. Like, it's not hyperbole. I'm saying this for real. I made something. I sat down, I ate it and went, I can't believe I just cooked that. And that is the magic of EveryPlate. So what are you waiting for? You've heard me talk about this endlessly. Why don't you just believe me one time? Just check it out. Just check it out and you might love it as much as I do. You can dig into flavor-packed meals your household will love. And new customers can enjoy a special offer of only $1.99 a meal. That's dinner for the whole family for the price of a croissant. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use my code AMUSING199 to get started. That's everyplate.com/podcast. Code AMUSING199. Applied as discount on first box, limited time only. Enjoy EveryPlate, hopefully as much as I do. When did clothes change? When did pants get baggy again? When did those barrel jeans just appear out of thin air? And those classy, like, cute little vests that people wear out to dinner and look so chic? When did that happen? The trends keep shifting, and my clothes in my closet are from a life I lived in 2017 that is very different from the one I live now. So thank goodness, Armoire is here to solve quite literally every clothing conundrum you and I both have. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you do is take this 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. Then they show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Whenever you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I use and I love Armoire. I love it. Not just because it's injected my wardrobe with fun new garments to try and made getting dressed easier and honestly was invaluable when my body was completely fluctuating as a new mom who was breastfeeding and exercising and didn't have clothes that fit me properly or even felt like me anymore. Armoire does all that, but I love renting clothes from Armoire because buying new clothes is a commitment that I do not have time for. How many times have you bought new pants and like sat down to drive and you're like, this is so uncomfortable, I can't sit like this? Or bought a fun shirt that you fell in love with at the store only to come home and realize it's so itchy and you somehow did not notice? That happened to me after my trip to New York. Extremely itchy shirt. Don't know how I didn't notice. I can't return it. It's from a store I don't have here. I'm stuck with it forever, and I don't like that feeling. Armoire lets you try it before you buy it. And once you fall in love with some or possibly all items in your order, you can buy them at a discount. And they've got some incredible brands, Frame, Page, French Connection, with so many styles to choose from. I've talked before about how Armoire really helped me fill some holes in my wardrobe, and I really needed like a fun skirt that I didn't have in my size, and I needed a black sweater because I somehow did not own a black sweater, and I was able to find both things through Armoire. I tried them, I loved them, and I bought them. Win, win, win. Right now, Very Amusing listeners can experience everything I'm talking about and give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I have a child now, which means one thing for my everyday life. I cannot get my hands on enough berries. But thank goodness there's a solution, because the best red raspberries they sell in this country, plump, sweet, naturally delicious, are available in the freezer aisle, thanks to the glory of Washington Red Raspberries. Oh yeah, we got the big berry account, y'all, so listen up, because I have some very important things to say about this. I'm actually very passionate about frozen fruit, because when you freeze fruit, it retains all of its nutrients and they're picked at peak ripeness and frozen hours later. So it's actually like a genius way, and it's more economical and it's easier to have access to berries in your home. Like, this is not a joke. I was born to talk about raspberries, and that's exactly what we're gonna do. But anyway, I have a child, so I'm constantly having this berry-based power struggle in my house. But with frozen Washington red raspberries, we all win. I'm out here housing nutrients like vitamin C and fiber by plopping them in my overnight oats, baking little muffins for the house with them. My daughter's getting American-grown frozen raspberries in her daily smoothie because she has the diet of a Gen Z Erewhoner, but we're only doing that inside our house. We have a healthy addition to all of our meals, and I don't have to run out or go to the market because I have them in my house, in my freezer, ready to go whenever I need fresh fruit. American-grown frozen raspberries are fresh, juicy, and full of flavor. They're good for gut health! They're good for blood sugar! I mean, they're friggin' raspberries! How can you not love a ripe raspberry? And when you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, look for product of US on the bag. That's how you know you got the right one. You're getting fresh flavor all year long, without that sadness of taking a carton out of the fridge and realizing they've gone all mushy. No mush here! So if you want to join in and find these delicious little berries, head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. There, you'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations like Kroger and Costco. Fun fact, you can find these in Costco, but you can also find them in the Kirkland Signature 3-Berry Blend. They got the good raspberries! And on that website, you'll find everything you need to make naturally delicious frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org. Happy berry eating.
Carly, my name is Linda. I'm from Texas. I've been listening to your podcast forever, and I just am behind on my podcast listening. So I'm listening to the July 9th episode, and my husband and I were in Disneyland on July 2nd. And if I had seen you there with your mom, I would have died. So I'm just so excited. So I just wanted to tell you that we were there at the same time, and I wish I had seen you, and I would have been a nightmare because I would have gone bananas. So I guess I'm glad I didn't see you there. But I was there too, and it was amazing. I'm a Disney World person, so this was our first trip to Disneyland, and my husband loved it. He's getting tired of Disney World, which is very upsetting to me, but he loved Disneyland, and he's already talking about going back. And your podcast helped me so much planning my Disneyland trip because I was nervous that it's different from Disney World, but I can't believe we were there on the same day. I'm just so excited. Thanks for your great podcast, and I don't know. Thank you. I'll keep listening. Okay, bye.
This is the energy I crave. I want to be at your level, Linda. I adore you. I adore this call. And you know what? I think the universe knew that we were both going to be there, but didn't let us know at the time because the two of us, people with this high capacity for being excited, knowing each other in person, I feel like the whole universe would just suck into a hole. Like at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, where everything fades to black, I think that would just happen. It would be like a reverse Big Bang Theory. We would just be like, zoop, too much energy, too much excitement. Nobody, no life form could go on. I am bummed that I didn't see you there, but this call made my day, made my week. I am so grateful for you. And that said, this is the energy that I'm hoping Amusapalooza brings. I hope the group trip just brings out so many people who are so excited to be at a theme park together. I hope this is what we channel. I am planning it. It is moving forward. We are announcing quite soon, depending on how quickly I can get the website up. But don't check the URL right now. It's like some like GoDaddy standalone. I haven't touched it yet. It's happening. It's happening, but it's not there yet. I feel like we're twins. I adore you. I adore this call. I'm so glad you had fun. I'm so glad I could be helpful. I'm so glad you had a great time. And thank you for calling. I hope I see you the next time I'm in the park. I don't want the world to end, but I would love to hang out. Okay, bye. Thank you for your call. Oh, and one more thing. If you ever see me in the park, please say hi. I know saying hi to people is so uncomfy, just like I know picking up a phone and dialing is so uncomfy. And yet I'm like demanding you do both in this episode. I'm so sorry. I hate making a phone call, even though that's like journalism 101. I hate doing it. So if you see me, please say hi. I know saying hi to someone can be weird because you don't want to be like tap, tap, tap on the shoulder. Like, hi, like I look at your photos all day, but I do that to other people. I've been in your position and said that to people and it doesn't always feel great, but sometimes you end up becoming friends. Sometimes like you end up knowing each other in real life. And sometimes like you really just have a nice moment with someone whose stuff you see in your phone and in your ears. And I just think it's great. So if you see me, if you happen to see me, please say hi. I love saying hi to people because again, to give you the flip side of it, like when I say hi to people, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want them to brush me off. Like it's so embarrassing if someone's like, bye. Like I will never do that to you. I will never do that. And if I do, if I'm like, there was someone I ran into a few weeks ago and I was running late to a meeting and I profusely apologized. So they knew it wasn't them, it was me. But essentially, like, I don't know, like tapping someone on the shoulder is scary, but I need you to know that I'm recording this in a room alone in my house. And judging from these true calls, I know people are listening. I know there's factual evidence. And yet it just always feels like I'm speaking into the ether, like into a cloud. Where does it go? I don't even know. Do you listen on Spotify? Do you listen on Apple? I don't really know. I mean, there's data for that, but I don't like looking at numbers. That's not why I got, I chose the opposite job. I never want to look at a number again in my entire life. So just know that it is also like on my end, it's a little like I'm not having the full experience because I don't see you in person. So when you say hi, it really makes things real for me and is wonderful for me too. It is a shared experience and I adore it. So please say hi, unless it's Linda, and then you'll know because the world will end because we have too much energy. Okay, bye.
Hi, Carly. This is Nora from Rhode Island. I'm looking for some really specific Mickey's Not So Scary help. I've never done after hours or parties before, so I'm just looking for some advice. My sister and I are set to go in September, but we have a day ticket for Magic Kingdom and for the Halloween party on the same day. My questions are this. Should we, like, leave in the afternoon, stop back at our hotel, maybe take a shower and change into costumes? Or should we just rent a locker during the day and suck it up and change while we're still at the park? Or is there, like, a specific time we should leave if we choose to do that? I've seen a lot online on when you should be lining up for the party, but I'm not really sure how to handle us already being in the park and if leaving would be a huge waste of time or cause issues getting back in. Thank you so much for your help.
Fantastic question. So I think there are schools of thought for both of the options that you are weighing. Usually when I talk to people, it's that they have a multi-day ticket, and so they're planning on going to the park that day and the party. But having a hard day ticket, like if you have a one-day ticket, you're spending a pretty penny to be at Magic Kingdom and also paying for a hard party ticket. And so I just want to make sure you know before you go that for the party, you are able to get in a few hours before so you can still do some rides and things before the park is exclusively closed to party guests. I want to make sure you don't feel like you're double paying if you won't get the full day's worth. That's why in your situation, I am inclined to tell you to not leave the park. Now, you will be tired. It's a long day. The party is a lot. If you're going sooner, it's going to be hot weather. Depending on your costume, you might kind of feel, you know, you might feel the heat, like it might just be a lot depending on all the things you want to do during the party. You might be maxing yourself out to go during the day and through the party at night, which is why like going back, showering, changing isn't a bad idea. But because you are spending the money to be there during the day, I kind of want you to maximize your time in the park before those party guests show up, because I believe historically this was true for years. I assume it is still true. I have not 100% fact checked this, but traditionally, the park isn't as busy the morning of a party day. Other parks will be more busy because other people will prioritize that. So I want you to get the most bang for your buck, literally, with your hard ticket to Magic Kingdom. So I would recommend doing the whole day and not leaving, which I know is also the, you know, the flip side is that you're going to be pretty tired. You might be pretty hot. I would say book a lunch, maybe right when that crossover happens, like later on. Book an early, I guess it would be an early dinner if it's like 4 o'clock, depending on your party time. Book a sit down meal so that you can like chill out, enjoy AC, shift between the day and the party. And then, just, you know, make sure you drink water. If the stamina, if this seems like you can't do it, I completely understand. All day, all night is a lot. But I do think just truly to get your money's worth, I would be worried about recommending you go to Magic Kingdom for like 6 hours and then leave and then come back, because like exiting and entering does take a lot of time unless you are staying really close nearby. If you're staying nearby, like Contemporary, Grand Floridian, easy, but you know, with so many hotels, it's likely that you're not staying immediately there. So I would recommend getting a locker, and this way you can get it all done and get like the special stuff at the party done while also, you know, prioritizing the rides during the day so that if the party you want to focus solely on Halloween stuff, you can do that without feeling like, oh, we got to go on these rides also. I think that is what I would do. I hope that is helpful. I hope you have a great time. Have so much fun. Eat some candy for me.
Hey, Carly. Love the podcast. This is Shelley from Colorado, and I had a question about your recent Alaska cruise episode. I've been following a lot of people from Florida, Texas, California who've recently been on Alaska cruises, and they've all said how cold it's been. So for someone from Colorado, I need the receipts. What is the temperature you're talking about? What is the wind chill you're talking about? Do I need to bring shorts or do I need to bring jeans? Someone from Colorado, cold is not a good indicator of temperature for me. So if you could possibly fill in those details, that would be amazing. I love the show. Thank you for what you're doing. Bye.
This is a fantastic call. I am so grateful that you called in because, yes, cold is so subjective. Now, for what I'm about to tell you, I do want to preface it by saying that I grew up in Chicago. I spent a lot of time in New York. I have braved cold weather. I went to school in Southern Illinois. If you walked out of your apartment to go to class and you had wet hair, it would be frozen by the time you get there. So I've spent a lot of time in cold weather, but now I can't handle it. And if I'm cold, I am mean and I am angry. I don't like being cold. It's a whole thing. It makes me very sad. And so now, like, I really, really do not like to be cold. So for my Alaska cruise, I packed a massive spectrum of stuff. And why I say that is because it really depends on what you're doing on your cruise. There were times when I was almost hot, and there were times when I was freezing, and it really just depended on where I was. It is a huge spectrum on the cruise. Even if you go at the same time as someone else, depending on what you're doing each day can totally, totally vary how you feel. I mean, there was a moment when it was freaking freezing on the top deck. Like, I was so cold. I was like, I've reached my limit. It was so cold because you were moving, the wind, it was wild. That was like day two, I think. But then on the other hand, we had a day in Juneau that was basically warm. You also kind of never know what weather you're going to get. I mean, we showed up to one port and they said it was the first nice day they'd had all year. We went in June. So it's tricky because even if you don't think you're going to be cold, I think you have to be prepared for cold. Because like what I said, there were times when I was just, you know, wearing a sweater on the ship. I was chilling. I was good. Like, didn't have to wear my jacket the whole time I was outside. But then I did something like zip lining and I wore every layer I had. And I'm really glad I did because it was pretty cold in there. Like, we were, you know, in a rainforest. We were surrounded by trees. It was just a totally different climate. Also, when you add in rain, it can make things feel a little different. So even though you are from Colorado, I know that you can handle cold weather, I would still be prepared and pack for about a 40 degree fluctuation in weather. Now, that can mean something different to you, where, you know, if the weather is on a spectrum of 40 degrees, all you need is a fleece. For me, I need a jacket, a hat, and heat tech layers. Like, I need all of that in my arsenal to survive. So my advice to you would be pack for that kind of 40, 45 degree fluctuation, where if you are wet and it is on the colder end of that spectrum, what would you need for that? There were people, you know, there were people who were not wearing as many layers as I was on my ship because, like what you said, you know, people feel differently in cold weather. So just pack for like a wide range of temperature, and I think that will serve you best. To get specific, I would recommend you want to pack for what you would need between 35 and 65 degrees. For me, I brought a puffy coat that was not one I would wear in Colorado in winter. This was kind of like a cute fashion puffy coat, but I had enough layers to put underneath where if it was 35 degrees, I could put on a big sweater and a turtleneck and put on my coat and feel comfortable. 35 to 65 degrees is pretty, that's kind of the sweet spot. So depending on what you would need in that weather, that is what I would recommend. The one thing I absolutely want you to pack though is a rain shell or an outer waterproof layer. I almost didn't bring one and I sure am glad I did because it kind of can rain out of nowhere unexpectedly until like you get there and you're like, oh, I guess it's gonna rain today. So you wanna make sure you have that in your arsenal of stuff. Now again, 35 to 65 degrees does look different for everyone. So as long as you have what you think you need, I think you'll be set. And again, I wore everything I packed on the cold spectrum, on the warm spectrum, I wore it all. So you will end up wearing a wide range of stuff. But for you, especially from Colorado, knowing that like winter isn't going to scare you, that's kind of the range that I would go with. Because 35 degrees also means like you need good socks, you need a few layers. But for you, that might look different than, you know, someone like me from California. I hope this was helpful. Let me know if you have any other questions. And thank you for your call.
Hi, Carly. Love the show. My name's Alice, and I have a very important question about your legendary Disney popcorn habits that actually come from a personal place. I very recently, as a 37, no, sorry, I'm 34, yes, math, I recently started eating popcorn again after avoiding it for years, mostly because the kernels getting stuck in my teeth drove me absolutely crazy. Now I eat popcorn at home, mostly smart food, even though I've noticed a dip in that cheddar flavor you've mentioned. I don't like that. I need more cheddar. But I eat popcorn at home where I have tools. I have clean hands, I have gloves, I have picks. I even have a water pick in my shower. But at the parks, that's a whole different story. I just want to know how you deal with it. I don't want to stick my sweaty public touching fingers in my mouth to dig out kernels. And I mean, I guess I could carry around floss, but that also involves, you know, a whole thing in the mirror and, you know. So seriously, what's your secret to dealing with all those kernels getting stuck when you're enjoying popcorn in the parks? Are you discreetly flossing on Main Street? Or maybe the people mover? Or do you have some sort of magical immunity to your
to these popcorn kernel issues that I seem to have. Yep, that's all.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, let's get into it. I just kind of suffer through in public. I rarely feel like I have a bunch of popcorn in my teeth and my gums problems, but I do need to fully admit here today that I am a floss freak. I floss, I mean, multiple times a day if I can, but always, always at night. And I use one type of floss only. I swear by it. It's my favorite. It is Plackers, which is the brand, twin line floss picks. And I know it's disposable. I know it's bad, but I make up for it in other ways. I only use disposable plastic bottles primarily when I travel and not any other time. I like really try to limit my plastic intake. I really try not to take to-go bags. Like I do my best. I try not to get utensils, et cetera, et cetera. But these little flossers, there's two lines of floss and they just snatch everything up and take it out of your teeth. And if you're like, ew, flossing, gross. Flossing is so important. Flossing is so healthy. It's like actually supposedly tied to your entire bodily health. You got to be flossing. And if that doesn't cut it for you, you need to be flossing because then when you go to the dentist, they compliment you and nothing feels as good as getting a compliment from the dentist. I don't floss at the park, but I do have a flosser in my go bag for Disneyland. I have like a pouch that I keep everything in. Obviously a Stony Clover Lane pouch, obviously. But I have that ready to go when I go to Disneyland and there is a flosser in there. You can believe it. It is in there. Hopefully you check these out and you enjoy them. They are fantastic. I swear by them. I love them. And I hope you like them too. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Carly. My name is Chloe, longtime listener, first time caller. I am a California transplant native to the East Coast, New York and New Jersey. Spent my entire first 18 years on the East Coast. So, also theme park enthusiast. Part of the driving factor why I moved to California was because I knew I could get to Disneyland on a regular basis. I am very, very curious, as somebody who also at one time lived in New York, if you are familiar with the one and only Stu Leonard's grocery store. I can't remember if you've talked about it on the podcast before, if somebody's called in about it, if it's just like in my brain as something that was mentioned once and I was excited about it and then forgot that it was mentioned, or if it really and truly has never been mentioned before or nobody's called your attention to it in case you're not already aware of it. I hope that sentence made sense. Yeah, I just need to know if you have thoughts about Stu Leonard's and what your thoughts are. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then hooray, yay, something new and exciting. All right, thanks, bye.
When I tell you that Stu Leonard's will be on the 2026 bucket list episode for Very Amusing, it is a must visit. I have never been somehow. That and is it Jungle Jim's? Jungle Jim's is my other white whale. Hold on. Jungle Jim's. Oh man, I gotta go to Jungle Jim's. I think it's in Ohio, but that and Stu Leonard's are two places that I desperately want to go. Thank you for calling and enlightening all of us about Stu Leonard's. Every video I see of it, I cavil over. I can't handle it. And I really, really want to go there. So thank you for encouraging me and making my dream come true. Thank you for calling.
This is Katie calling back from Wisconsin with an update about my Dells trip. Very excited that somebody else called to share the same story about the Jelly Belly Factory. Good, you know, Midwesterners here. But yeah, I had a great time in the Dells. I went to this little like local place called the Black Hawk Motel. Would recommend. I went with my boyfriend's family and they've been doing like a trip there for like 30 years. They go every summer and they like rent a block of rooms and it's like very like nostalgic Dells classic, but it's like not dumpy, and it's, like, really clean. I don't know. Would recommend if you want, like, kind of an authentic place to stay that's, like, not the water parks, per se. We just stayed a couple nights. We didn't go to any of the water parks. We did go to Denny's Diner because you talked about it on the pod, and some of the family recommended it, too, and it was so kitschy and cute. And we didn't go to Paul Bunyan's. I did go to Moose Jaw Pizza, which shout out, I'm gluten-free and it's hard to find gluten-free spots in, you know, smaller little towns like that. That's a bunch of mom and pop places, but they had great gluten-free pizza, classic place. I did want to say a good recommendation, excuse me, is
There's like a newer, cuter, trendy chain there called Bella Goose Coffee. And they do a lot of good work with like employing people in Thailand, and they have a really good like donation. It just seems like a very good, ethically great company. They had a beautiful little coffee shop right along the Wisconsin River, and it was just beautiful. But yeah, totally going to go back for longer next year. Really want to like go on a one of the duck boat tours, see some water parks, do that sort of thing. I walked down the strip, got some fudge, got some cheese curds, all the good stuff. But I feel like it's truly, we're just two friends gabbing back and forth about the Dell. So enjoy this. Can't wait to hear your deep dive on the Dells, and I really hope that you get to go back sometime. Thanks. Bye.
Nothing like keeping the Dells calls going on this podcast. It brings me so much joy. Oh, how I miss it. How I miss it so. Now, I've never been to Moose Jaw because I'm a pizza pub girly. I've just never done it. It does sound great, and I think I got to check it out the next time I'm there because you know I'm going to be back in Dells. I was literally on my overnight camp's website this week because I was like, how old does a child have to be to go here? Ha ha ha. I'm just so excited for Pearl to enjoy overnight camp the way that I did as a child, and I'm 100% sending her. And not just so I can go to Wisconsin Dells twice in 1 month. Selfishly, into it. Hope she likes camp because I really want to go to the Dells. It's so funny, though, to hear you talk about a cool coffee shop in Wisconsin Dells, because I guess when I was there, I didn't need coffee. I was like 17, 18. I was like, I mean, I lived there as an elder teen. I wasn't drinking coffee. And then I worked there. I went there as a younger teen. I worked as an elder teen. And I think not into college. Maybe 1 year? Maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, I was not drinking coffee. It was not something I needed or wanted. But to hear that there's a cool coffee shop is blowing my mind. I also can't believe it's next to Mexicali Rose. Like, it's in that main intersection across from Pirates Cove, right by Paul Bunyan's. There's a cool coffee shop there? I can't believe I can get coffee there and then walk over to Paul Bunyan's. Or go to Paul Bunyan's and walk over and get coffee. Oh, also gotta say, there's nothing like looking at Google Maps and zooming out a little and seeing Big Sky drive in. Oh, I miss it so much. Thank you for the update about the Dells. Maybe we'll do our very amusing trip one year there. Ooh, I don't know how many people I can drag to Wisconsin in the middle of the summer, but maybe one day. Never say never. Never say never. Thank you for your call. Oh, I miss it.
Hey, Carly, it's Erin. I just wanted to let you know really early in the morning that I remembered that you didn't start making your podcast the second I started listening to it, but in fact had been doing it for several years, which meant jackpot. I can go back and listen to all the old ones, which is a PSA for anyone who has joined late. They are filler from the jump, so please check it out. Love you so much. Excited to see all the crazy Disney stuff that is coming up and hopefully join the group trip soon. Okay, sending love and Disney.
Yes! Go back in the archives. There are so many fun episodes, so many really cool interviews we've done. Interviews with Imagineers, interviews with creatives, interviews with celebrities, but really just so many episodes from visits to the park and so much cool stuff that we've done are very amusing. So if you are new here, thank you. I'm happy you're here. And also, there's so much to scroll through. If you're bored or on a road trip, or you have to do dishes and you really don't want to do dishes, or if you're just tired of, I don't know, watching the same sitcom on repeat like I do, but I can't help it. I'm in the middle of a Big Bang Theory rewatch again. I did all the episodes and I went back to one and just kept watching again. So if you're a little like, I need something to switch up my routine, go to our old episodes. There are really good ones. And the audio quality should still be good because Jeff Fox is the man. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I'm really glad you're here. I'm really glad you're all here. Welcome back, Becky.
As if we didn't have enough already to talk about.
This is the reward for listening this far in the episode, is that you're getting an exclusive discount. Like, truly an exclusive discount. And if you wanted to go to Epic Universe, you're going to get an exclusive discount.
Exactly. So we have, at MEI Travel, we have access to an offer that's not available anywhere else. It's a special thing through our consortia, and it's incredible. You can save up to $100 on a 2-night or longer stay at many of the participating hotels. And it's for booking window through August 31st, for a travel window of August 1st, which is right around the corner now, all the way up to December 31st, 2026.
What?
I know.
Wait. So this discount, which also like a two-night minimum, $100 discount, wild. But this lasts through HHN this year, HHN next year. And also, if you were like, I want to go to Epic Universe when the weather's cooler, or I want to go to Epic Universe when it's not as like new and I want to wait a little, you can benefit from this discount offer all the way through the end of next year.
Absolutely. You just have to book it by August 31st of this year. And this applies to the Create Your Own Vacation package that we put together for you, which includes the hotels and the tickets. So it's really, really, really amazing to get a $100 discount off of that, especially when if you're just going for two nights, $100 off two nights.
Oh, my God. Also, a great amount of time to add on to a trip. If you were primarily doing Disney World, you can add this on either end and save money while doing it.
Absolutely. So, of course, the total amount of that discount is going to be based on the hotel you choose. So it's up to $100 off of a two-night stay.
Wow.
And I'm sure we'll have more because we're really focusing on Universal this year because, the feedback is in. People are loving it. And I can't wait to see what's going to come around the corner for that one.
Oh, my gosh. Now, can you refresh my memory of the Disneyland discounts? Because I know they still are going strong.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they also have that save up to 20% off select stays at the three hotels now. So the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, or the Villas Disneyland Hotel, you can save up to 20%. Ooh. That is from August 17th for stays all the way through December 19th. So you can book that now through December 16th or so, but your travel must be completed by December 20th.
Becky, thank you so much for this. I cannot wait to see you on Royal Caribbean. We are going on Star of the Seas very soon. We're so stoked.
I am so excited for that too, because that is my favorite ship class anywhere, anytime right now. So we're going to see each other. But speaking of Royal Caribbean really quickly, I got one more for you.
Of course. Of course, in your bag of discounts.
This is another my crazy Mary Poppins bag of discounts. This one is real. It's another exclusive only available through us, that if you book a Royal Caribbean cruise through August 31st on a select sailings in a balcony or suite category, we will give you a free specialty dining for two added to your package. So that's a great value because it could be up to, $100, $125 of value right there.
Yeah, and it's free just by booking with you guys.
Exactly, especially ones that if the rates go down, we apply the savings, so you're price protected essentially up until final payment. So there's all kinds of services that we provide for you to make sure you get the best value out of your vacation, but our services are free to you, so there's no additional cost.
See, this is why we love you. This is why I love you, Becky.
I love you back.
See you soon, girl.
See you real soon.
That's our show. That was a lot of calls. That was a lot of calls. I told Jeff the podcast would be in much earlier than it was. Sorry about that, Jeff. I have time blindness, but that is okay. You can rate and review and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747 Churros. And if you don't know that by the end of this episode, I don't know what you thought this was. This must have been a very confusing hour to you. If you were thinking about planning a trip to Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean, Universal, Epic Universe, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. MEI Travel, their parent company, we refer to them kind of like, I guess it's like the way I use my maiden name and, surprise, my married name. Yeah, I'm both. There's no wrong answer if you're addressing me by name. But it's kind of like that, like they're interchangeable, and I want to make sure you know that. Anyway, as you've heard in these really good segments this month, the next few weeks we're going to be playing them. They're really good. Like really good discounts, really good intel. I'm so appreciative that Becky takes time to do this because I kind of fall asleep on recommending the deals, and I want to make sure people know that if they want to travel, there are ways to currently save money, because if y'all know theme parks, it doesn't always stay that way. If you're planning a trip, go to mousefantravel.com/amusing or go to the website and tell them that I sent you. That way they know I sent you and they can take care of you real good. I mean, they take care of everyone real good, but I guess now they know they can be a little more kooky in their emails. It is coming from me. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet or join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. Special shout out if you are a teacher and you are not a member of the FOMALY, I highly recommend it. We usually every year, and I think we may have skipped it maybe in like 2022 when I all the blood in my body was not going to my brain, it was going to like being a mother. She was out of my body. I was making milk. It's a whole thing. We don't have to get into it. Anyway, teachers, we will be sharing everyone's wish lists for their classrooms in the next week. I think I'm going to take care of that tomorrow. So make sure to join so we can get your wish list. So hopefully people can buy some stuff in there to make your classroom a little more special. Subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel, 99 cents a month. I'm posting like 5 to 6 days a week. I'm kind of mostly posting on subscribers right now. It's very fun. I quite enjoy it. It's nice to have a little community. It's easier to like identify messages. It's just really great. And I love it. And if you subscribe, I love having you there. And if you haven't, give it a shot. It's 99 cents a month. 99 cents a month. This episode was edited tolerantly by Jeff Fox. Sorry again that I'm late. I'm really sorry. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. I loved this interview. I just love AJ. I love her voice. I think she is so adorable. She is so genuine, so fun. And I loved her the minute I met her. What was it, like 10 years ago, 8 years ago? I just love her. I cannot wait for her book to buy it. I am so excited. But now knowing that you're in it, I need to get copies. I need to get for Grandma. I need to get for my brother. I need to get for friends. This is a great gift for my Disney friend lovers. And I love this episode. It was so good and so fun. It went by too fast. I love you and I will see you soon. And yay! I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I will see you very soon. So excited. Bye.